Sometimes ago, we began to look at the golden rules for marital bliss. Golden rules for marital bliss. We said marriage is not for boys, it's not for girls. Marriage is for matured men, matured women. We said both the man and the woman must be physically, emotionally, and spiritually mature. And we said to have a good marriage, to have a good home, to have a good family, is hard work. It will not just happen. You will have to work towards it. And we said, for you to experience marital bliss, there are golden rules that you must keep into. And we began to tell us that number one is appreciation. That is, you must admire your partner, you must appreciate him or her. Number two is understanding. That is, that has to do with knowing your partner very well. Proverbs 21:16 says, "A man that wandered out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." So number three is covering. That is, you must not expose the weaknesses of your spouse. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Love covereth multitude of sins." Number four is defending. The rule of defending. The husband or the wife that is not interested in defending his or partner is calling for the ministry of the serpent and the ministry of the scorpion. Number five is the rule of openness. You must be open to one another. And we also told us that one area that is very difficult for couples to be open to each other is the area of finance. The sixth golden rule is prayer. Your best prayer partner is your husband or your wife. Number seven is communication. Don't just assume that your wife or your husband understand what is going on. You must open your mouth and you communicate with each other. So number eight is the rule of forgiveness. The husband and wife cannot do without offending each other. But we must be quickly ready to forgive one another. Say the rule number nine is speak good and positive things about your partner. No matter what is happening around you, speak good and positive things about your partner. So number 10 is brokenness. When the man in the house is broken and the woman in the house too is also broken, the devil will have no place in that home. So we take it from there now. Another vital rule, golden rule
to experience marital bliss. Is the rule of vision. Vision. Habakkuk chapter 2. Proverbs 1-3. Talks about writing down the vision. Say, wait for it, though it tarries. It will surely come to pass. Vision is the ability to see where you are going from where you are. For you to enjoy your marriage, to enjoy your home, to enjoy your family, you must be a man or a woman of vision. The home of Abraham was guided by vision. Genesis 13 verse 14. The Lord came to Abraham after Lot had departed from him. The Lord said, Abraham, now look. God was giving him a vision. Said, look. Not what?
Southward,
eastward. Look at all this place. I'm going to give it to you. Abraham eventually possessed the promised land. He took his family to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He was a man of vision. Abraham was able to see where God is taking him and his family to. And he arrived there. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the whole house will scatter. There will be no direction. There will be no focus. Vision helps you to kill distraction. As husband, what vision do you have for your home? As wife, what vision do you have for your marriage? In the next 5 years, 10 years, where do you hope to be? What vision do you have for your children? Husband and wife, has no vision. They are like someone who does not have eyes. And they are asking for a magnifying glass. It is a useless exercise. You cannot just bring a man or a woman into your life. Or you cannot just bring children into this world without a vision. It is vision that will help you to plan your life, to plan your family. Vision will also help you to know the number of children that you are going to give birth to. Vision is a driving force. It pushes you forward, not backward. The vision a man has makes him a leader in the house. When you see a man always fighting his wife, fighting the woman, fighting the woman, that man lacks vision. You cannot arrive at a destination that you cannot see. It is vision that will make you to see where you are going. Sight is a function of the eyes. Vision is a function of the heart. Matthew 15 verse 14. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If the man lacks vision, and the woman too lacks vision,
they are heading into the ditch. Vision is the mental picture of where you are going. Backed up by the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for somebody here today that any marriage that is void of vision, before you leave this place today, you will catch your own vision in the name of Jesus. Ambition is not vision. Ambition cannot replace vision. Ambition is good, but it does not have the power to take you to your destination. Ambition is a strong desire to achieve something, while vision is the picture that God puts in your heart. Ambition is limited. Vision is unlimited. A marriage that is run on the fuel of vision will definitely get to its destination. Vision gives you courage to move on in the midst of challenges. When you see a man or a woman that said, well, I can no longer go on, I want to get out of this marriage, it means that they lack vision. It gives you courage to move on in the midst of challenges, no matter the attacks of the enemy. Vision will continue to tell you, you will get there. You will get there. You will get there. It is so easy to know a family that is being driven by vision. They are totally united and focused. Such family, they know the purpose for which their home is established. Where there is no vision, the people perish. How do you develop a godly vision for your home, for your marriage?
Anyway,
number one, you must talk to yourself. What kind of family do you desire for yourself? Have a discussion with yourself. Is it a godly family or a godless family? When you talk to yourself, you catch a vision from above. The second thing that you need to do to develop a godly vision is you must talk to your partner. Talk to your partner. After talking to yourself, now talk to your partner. Your vision must be the same. It must not contradict each other. And the third thing that you need to do to develop a godly vision
is that
you must talk to God. There is a reason why God brings two of you together. Your marriage has a purpose, and it is God that will communicate that purpose to you. So one vital rule to experience marital bliss is the rule of vision. Number 12, rule is the rule of power. Power. You want to have a glorious family. You want to have a wonderful marriage. You want to build a family that will make impact. Then you must connect to the rule of power. Both husband and wife must possess power. And when we talk about power, we are talking about spiritual power. Spiritual power. Psalm 66. verse 3 says, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. Through the greatness of thy power. That is what will make your enemy to submit. Your marital enemy will not submit to you because you attend church services. You need power to make them to submit. Power will not acquire you. You are the one that will acquire power. Jesus told the church that is his wife, that thou shalt receive power. You shall receive. To receive something means that you have to be available. It means you have to be willing. It means that you have to be ready. So he said, thou shalt receive power. That is, you must be available to receive the power. You must be willing to receive the power. And then you must be ready to receive the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Husbands and wives that are yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they are cheating themselves. They are missing a lot. Why? Because there are human beings who are not human beings. And they will come to confront your home. They will come to attack your family. And for you to make them to submit, you must receive power. You need power to move to the next level. You need power to confront the powers of darkness. A brother was going to a revival, and he was been praying that God should give him a good wife. As he was driving, going, he saw a sister looking at that sister. The conclusion is that this sister is a child of God. Because he could hardly see any part of her body. The scarf. Covered
2 years.
She wore a long sleeve. And the skirt was just almost touching the ground. And the sister whipped him. The man was very happy. He thought that the sister was going to the same place that she was going to. This thing happened in Abuja. And then the sister entered. And then the man began to talk. But anytime the brother mentioned the name of Jesus, the sister will stylishly avoid mentioning the name. Sir, I believe you are going to the revival. He said yes. And then continued going. When they now got to the church, he said, now can you come down? Jesus said, no, I am not coming down. Are you not coming for the revival?
He
said, no. Then where are you going?
He
said, I am from hellfire. And I'm going back to hellfire. The brother didn't understand what the sister was saying. Ask her again. Sister, where are you going?
He
said, don't call me sister. I am going back to hellfire. And then she disappeared. The brother ran inside the church. I have seen Satan. You need power to confront those people that look like human beings, but they are not human beings. When the man in the house is filled with power, and the woman in the house is also filled with power, both of them will chase the enemy back to hellfire. Powerlessness in your home is a disaster. Powerlessness in your marriage is a disaster. And when you lack power, at least there are 12 things that will constantly happen in that home. Regularly. Number one is affliction. Number two is oppression. Number three is confusion. Number four is night attacks. Number five, blindness in the spirit. The man is blind. The woman too is blind. Even the children too, they are blind. Number six is wasted labor. Everybody will be working. The children will be reading. But the labor will yield no result. Seven is resurrection of evil family pattern. Because there is powerlessness, there will be resurrection of evil family pattern. Like father, like son syndrome. Like mother and daughter syndrome. Number eight is failed expectations. Failed expectations. Number nine is unexplainable depths. Constantly happening in the home because of powerlessness. Number 10 is caged talent. The talent will be there, but it will not find any expression. Number 11 is weak prayer altar. And number 12, attacks by the spirit husband, spirit wives, and spirit children. Powerlessness is a disaster. Hear this. You cannot survive as a Christian in this wicked world without power. Jesus told his disciples, don't preach to anybody. Don't work miracles now. Don't go out for anything now. Stay in the upper room until you are endued with power. The powers that are confronting marriages, they are many, and they are receiving strength every day. You need power to enjoy your marriage. Let me give us just one more golden rule for marital bliss. Is intimacy. Intimacy. Sexual intimacy. Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis
verse 25. The Bible says, both the man and the woman, they were both naked, and they were not ashamed of one another. Sexual intimacy. The Bible is totally against couples denying each other sex. Sex is not something that you joke with in marriage. It is a serious matter. It is a vital
him.
Some sisters, they will come and start complaining.
Oh,
is this food? Is it food? Is it food? The answer is yes. It is food. God created the soup. And it must be supplied regularly. 1 Corinthians, let us read that. 7. I read from verse 4. The wife has no power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has no power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time. Except it be with consent for a
time,
that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. And said, after the fasting and the prayer, say, come together again. Why? So that Satan may not tempt you for your incontinency. In some marriages, a breakdown in the sexual relationship may be an indicator of deeper problems in that relationship. It may be lack of trust. It may be as a result of resentment. It may be as a result of anger. Poverty. Depression. But for whatever reason, the stand of the Bible is very, very clear. Defraud ye not one another. It is a golden rule that you cannot just throw away. The problem is that there are some of our sisters and some of our brothers too, who are too spiritual than the Bible.
What is there in here? Did you barely see the article there?
Oh, they are too spiritual. It's like the case of that sister.
All right, your terrible is gone.
Suddenly, the husband called.
No, did you not call ever quit?
The husband called me on the phone. I am going to stop my wife from coming to church. And the man was booming and shouting on the phone. I said, sir, take it easy. What is our offense? I will just stop her from coming. What is our offense? I just want how. I
said,
when a man is talking like that, and is not bold, is not to say this is the offense. Check that area. So I called the wife. I said, come. Are you having any quarrels with your husband?
She said,
no.
She
said, ah. Do you cook for him? Say yes.
Say yes, sir.
And I said, madam, when last did your husband touch you?
He
said, ah. That one. Sir, I want power. I want power. So because of that, you didn't allow your husband to touch you. Say yes. Me too, I want to be seen vision. I want to be prophesied. I want to be working miracles. Say, I said you will walk miracles. You will see vision. But you will lose your hope. So your husband is not happy. So what should I do now? It was on a Wednesday. I said, go home. When you get home, around 8 and 9 p.m. take a shower.
No way.
Wait for the man. Wear a transparent night dress. As I was counseling her, the way she was looking at me, that this pastor has lost sanctification. I said, when you do that, wait for the man. Don't allow the man to call you. Jump on him. And let him minister to you thoroughly. Anyway, by the following week, I saw the husband as he was coming, and I was coming too, and I was looking at him. He was smiling. So I said, bro, I hope everything is okay. God is in control. Sexual intimacy is a vital key in experiencing marital
testimony.
What are the things that the enemy uses to kill sex in marriage? Number one is sickness. If any of the couple is sick, their sexual life will be killed. Number two is tiredness. Tiredness that is difficult to explain. Do your spouse complain of tiredness all the time? It kills sex in marriage. Number three, erroneous teaching. Wrong teachings that sex between husband and wife can stop the flow of the anointing. You can never find that in the scripture. It's an erroneous teaching. Number four, it's ungodly way of having sex with one another. Putting a male organ in the mouth, it kills sex in marriage. Number five, I call it frigidity. That is the fear of being full of intercourse. The woman is afraid of sex because of the pain that comes with it. The kind of fear can be used by the enemy to kill sex permanently in marriage. Number six is worry and anxiety. When there is worry of what to eat and what to put on, it can kill sex in marriage. Number seven is bad attitude towards the woman. Bad attitude towards the woman. It can completely kill sex in marriage. You are not treating the woman nicely during the day. Then in the night you are asking her to come. Of course she will not answer. And if she answers, she will grumble. It can kick stress in marriage. And the last one is witchcraft attacks. It can kick sex permanently in marriage. I know a couple, the day they got married, the husband was okay, the wife was okay, but that night the man became impotent. He said he just felt that somebody touched his manhood, and that was it. And they were going about like that for 12 years. Kicks sexual life in marriage. God uses sex to bring husband and wife together. The devil uses sex to scatter homes. I'm praying for everyone here. You are a husband, you are a wife. You have a family, you have a home. That every dark serpent anointed to destroy your home, they shall receive open disgrace in the name of Jesus. A threefold amen. I'm going to stop here. We shall continue from here next time. Bow down your head, please, and begin to speak into your home. Speak prosperity, promotion, anointing, healing, success into your family. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want your amen to be strong, dynamic, and powerful as I pray now. The prayer that you say amen to is what will manifest in your life throughout this week. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that this week shall be a week of testimonies for you. It shall be a week of signs and wonders for you. It shall be a week of promotion for you. In the name of Jesus, nothing good throughout this week shall be withheld from you. Anywhere you appear, the fire of the Lord of Elijah will defend you in the name of Jesus. Anywhere that you speak, the God of fire will establish your voice there. In the name of Jesus, anti-success power, anti-promotion power, anti-prosperity power, if they see you this week, they shall bow before you. In the name of Jesus, I know that there are people this week that the enemy has penciled them down for destruction. There are some this week that will just sleep and they will not wake up. There are some this week. There are people this week that will experience accidents. But any tragedy that the enemy has prepared for people throughout this week, you and every member of your family, they will not come near you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It is well with you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let us share the grace of fellowship. Seven glorious path, hallelujah, let's go.